You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Apple of His Eye. And now here is Dr. Meyer.
Talk about having a positive self-image. The famous jurist Oliver Wendell Holmes once attended a meeting where he happened to be the shortest person present. Someone said, Dr. Holmes, I should think you'd feel rather small among us big fellows. Holmes answered and said, I do. I feel like a dime among a lot of pennies. I don't know where Oliver Wendell Holmes found his confidence, but I do know that God's people, those of us who believe and hope in Jesus Christ for all the good things that God promises, we have a positive self-image. This is not because of us. Our faults and shortcomings are well known to our critics and very well known to God, who stands in judgment over us all. Our positive self-image comes not from ourselves, but from the fact that God, the judge, has revealed that He is also our loving Heavenly Father. That's why we view ourselves as special. To borrow a phrase from the Bible, God's people are the apple of His eye. That expression first shows up in Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. There Moses recites a song about how great God is to his people. He praises God for protecting and caring for the descendants of Jacob. Moses says that God guarded Israel like the pupil of his eye. The pupil of the eye is the way the original Hebrew expresses it. The King James translation and most subsequent English translations use the beautiful expression, the apple of his eye. The translations use it again in Zechariah 2, verse 8, to refer to the protection and care God has for His people. Whoever touches you, it says, touches the apple of His eye. With a God who shields and cares for His people, you and I can have a positive self-image. If Oliver Wendell Holmes felt like a dime among pennies, the goodness of God makes His people feel 10 feet tall. We're talking this month about some good works that parents and adults can do to give glory to God and to create a good environment in which children can learn. One good work that we can do is teach young people that failure does not drive the Heavenly Father away from His children. Think it through from the perspective of a child. If you're a child and keep hearing from religious people how terrible sin is, and it is, I'm not denying that. And as a child, you hear that you are a sinner, and all children are sinners from the moment of conception. I'm not denying that either. Won't you draw the logical conclusion that your sins and your failures lead God to reject you? It's easy for a child, for anyone, to feel worthless because of failure, unless we also learn that the God of the law is much more a God of gospel. As John 3:17 says, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. A child has to learn, as indeed we must all learn, that because of God's love in Jesus Christ, we sinners are forgiven and we are the apple of His eye. Let me share a story to illustrate that adults need to be sensitive to how failure can devastate a child. Recently, I came across a wonderful little book called Chicken Soup for the Soul. In it, Bob Fox shares the following poem about a little leaguer. He stands at the plate with his heart pounding fast. The bases are loaded. The die has been cast. Mom and Dad cannot help him. He stands all alone. A hit at this moment would send the team home. The ball meets the plate. He swings, and he misses. There's a groan from the crowd, with some boos and some hisses. A thoughtless voice cried, "Strike out the bum!" Tears filled his eyes. The game's no longer fun. So open your heart and give him a break, for it's moments like this a man you can make. Please, keep this in mind when you hear someone forget. He is just a little boy, and not a man yet. That little leaguer who's struck out. Indeed, every child needs to learn from us adults what it means to be graced, what it means to fail and even sin despite your best efforts, and yet through those disappointments to know that you haven't struck out with God. So, how are you adults going to impart that lesson? The Word of God tells us this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "Be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you." Teaching children what it means to be in God's grace starts when we parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, understand and believe that God has forgiven our own sins and hasn't rejected us because of our failures. Looking back over the years of your life, no doubt you've had areas of struggle. Areas in which, to use a baseball metaphor, you probably had more strikeouts than home runs. Maybe for you that area was illness. Problems of health became the arena in which you became painfully aware of human frailty, and I hope you learned how to call upon God for help. Maybe the area of struggle for you was in relationships. A failed marriage, difficult relations with your children and relatives, and never able to win friends and influence people. Again, I hope that through those problems, you came better to know the God of peace. Maybe the area of struggle for you was financial. Too much month at the end of the money. Again, I hope you learned what it means to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, while we may do well in many aspects of life, we have those areas that are unique to each one of us, areas wherein God teaches us what it means to really be the apple of His eye, to fail, even to sin, and yet to know that we are still in His forgiving grace. Going through your struggle with a sense of God's forgiving grace should have a direct impact on how you deal with others. It should make you kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Should is the key word here. It's hard to comprehend, but there are people who don't understand that forgiveness is both to be received and shared. Jesus told a parable about such a person who was not kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. The kingdom of heaven, he says in Matthew 18, is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to do so, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. A talent is about $30,000, and this slave owed 10,000 talents. When this slave could not pay the debt, the master ordered him, his wife, his children, and all he had to be sold in order to settle the account. Then the slave fell on his knees and, bowing low before him, begged, "Be patient with me, and I will repay you everything." The master felt sorry for his slave, freed him, and canceled his debt. But when that slave went away, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That is, 100 days' wages. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay what you owe," he said. Then his fellow slave fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will repay you." But he refused. Instead, he turned away and had him put in prison until he would pay what he owed. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they felt very sad and came and told their master the whole story. Then his master sent for him and said to him, "You wicked slave! I canceled all you owed me because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have treated your fellow slave as mercifully as I treated you?" His master was so angry that he handed him over to his torturers until he should pay all that he owed. Then Jesus closed the parable. You know who Jesus is, the Son of God who came and died so that your sins would be forgiven. Jesus, the one who died for the sins in the tough areas of your life and also for the sins you don't know about in all aspects of your life. Jesus closed the parable and said, "That is what my Father in heaven will do to you if each of you will not from your heart forgive his brother." Ephesians says, "Be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you." That's what your children need from you. They need to know in a kind and tender-hearted way that the forgiveness of God is so great that it covers their failures. It covers their sins. One teacher said it this way, "It's okay to make mistakes. That's how we learn." Doris Sanford has written a book titled, How to Answer Tough Questions Kids Ask. In a chapter called Self-Esteem, she writes that the number one job in the emotional care of children is helping them develop a healthy self-concept, a balance of confidence and humility. She then gives some advice toward that end. Spending one-to-one time with a child says he is important. Focused attention is more affirming than general attention. Teach children how to fail. Be casual about failure. It's the only way to learn something new. Refer to the child's strengths in matter-of-fact conversation with others in the child's presence. Tell the child about your own past failures, not just your successes, especially in areas where the child has more skill than you did at his age. And don't allow children to blame someone else for their failures. To that advice of Doris Sanford, I'd add, the apple of his eye. Tell your child in different ways and in different settings that God loves him or her, that Jesus is a real Savior, that their failures don't mean that they're not any good. Some years ago, someone said that God doesn't make junk. Every person needs to know and believe that they've been made by God, redeemed by Jesus, and made holy and special people by the work of the Holy Spirit. Throw in some prayer and patience, and your child will stand 10 feet tall. In the book I quoted earlier, Chicken Soup for the Soul, there's another story of a boy in baseball. A little boy was overheard talking to himself as he strode through his backyard, baseball cap in place and toting ball and bat. "I'm the greatest baseball player in the world," he said proudly. Then he tossed the ball in the air, swung, and missed. Undaunted, he picked up the ball, threw it into the air, and said to himself, "I'm the greatest player ever." He swung at the ball again, and again he missed. He paused a moment to examine bat and ball carefully. Then once again he threw the ball into the air and said, "I'm the greatest baseball player who ever lived." He swung the bat hard, and again he missed. "Wow," he exclaimed, "what a pitcher." Oh God, help us give exuberance to our children, an exuberance that comes from sharing the grace that comes to us sinners just the way we are. Show the wonder of your great love, we pray with the psalmist. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Until next week, be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.